Thanks again for tuning in to the Book Club at 91.7 here on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. On the phone with me is Mark Beauregard. His new book is called The Whale, A Love Story. It looks back on the very interesting relationship between Nathaniel Hawthorne and Herman Melville, and how that relationship may have transformed Melville's masterpiece, Moby Dick. Mark, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to join you.
As I was saying just before we went on, Mark, when I began to read The Whale, A Love Story, on the first page, I see Oliver Wendell Holmes, I see Herman Melville, and I went, wow, this guy's got some chutzpah putting these people in his book. But really, this is inspired by that relationship between Herman Melville and Nathaniel Hawthorne, something I hadn't heard of before. Talk about the genesis for the book here.
Well, it's funny that you mention Oliver Wendell Holmes right off the bat, because I was actually researching a project about Oliver Wendell Holmes when I came across the correspondence between Melville and Hawthorne. Actually, I should say that Holmes and Hawthorne and Melville and a lot of other famous writers and critics were neighbors in the Berkshires at this time in western Massachusetts. So there was quite a little literary society. And in researching the book that I was going to do about Holmes, I came across a lot of journal writing and letters, because these people wrote letters back and forth all the time, that had to do with the relationship between Melville and Hawthorne. And when I went back and actually read the letters that Melville wrote to Hawthorne and read Hawthorne's journals around this time, around 1850 and 51, during the time that Melville was writing Moby Dick, I was really surprised at their content and the passion and the provocativeness of the language they used in the letters. And that's what led me to research further and further and eventually to write the book.
I think I read in another interview you did somewhere, you said that you would call up friends and read them passages from these letters and ask them what they thought. They would say, oh, that's a love letter. Isn't that a love letter?
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of writing about the differences that we have in expressing our affections for one another today, between our expressions today and the expressions that people used in the 19th century. People were much more affectionate in their writing and in physically. They would, you know, you would, with your good friend, you would put your arm around him, or you would walk down the street arm in arm. And this was just a normal way of being friendly. But these letters, even taking that into consideration, are very frank and very passionate. And I did start kind of questioning myself. I thought, well, am I seeing this through a 21st century lens, or are these really actually love letters that Melville's writing to Hawthorne? So I would call up friends and I'd say, without any context, I have this letter that I'd like you to listen to and just tell me what you think of it. And I would read a letter, and they would usually tell me to calm down, that I was, whoever I was in love with, you should just not express yourself that way, because that was much, much too over the top. And I just, from their reaction, and then I tell them, well, this is actually a letter from Melville to Hawthorne, and they would become more and more intrigued, and then I became more and more intrigued to really understand the heart of the relationship and what was behind it. And actually, I don't know if you're interested, but I have a couple of passages just at hand from some of these letters that, you know, maybe you'd like to hear them and just kind of judge for yourself.
Sure, yes. Yes, please.
Well, there's one in particular that was written by Herman Melville to Nathaniel Hawthorne in November of 1851. And I'll just read a short passage from it. And he uses the word magians, which is an old-fashioned word for magicians. If the world was entirely made up of magians, I'll tell you what I should do. I should have a paper mill established at one end of the house, and so have an endless ribbon of foolscap rolling in upon my desk. And upon that endless ribbon, I should write 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 thoughts, all under the form of a letter to you. The divine magnet is on you, and my magnet responds. Which is the biggest? A foolish question. They are one. And then a little later on, he says, whence come you, Hawthorne? By what right do you drink from my flagon of life? And when I put it to my lips, lo, they are yours and not mine. And that whole, the flagon of life and just the sexual imagery of it and the implication of having the same lips and speaking with the same voice, I just thought that was so unusual, even for the times, that I was, I had to learn more about it.
Mark Beauregard, his novel is The Whale, A Love Story. You can learn more about it at our website, WVXU.org. But why did you decide to take this story and kind of fictionalize it? Is this something that scholars have looked at before? I love the book and the concept of the book and, exploring. I love the Herman Melville character in your novel here, Mark, because he acts very much like a man in love, and you know, sometimes obsessing on things, sometimes being absent-minded about things. But why did you decide this would be a good thing to fictionalize?
Well, a couple of reasons. One is that the idea that I had that's different from the one that scholars have had before, or that builds on the one that scholars have had before, is not just that Hawthorne and Melville had an erotic relationship or a very intense spiritual connection. People have been talking about that since the 1950s. The thing that I thought was interesting about their relationship is that it takes place almost entirely within the time that Melville is writing Moby Dick. And so I began to wonder, because Melville's writing is all autobiographical, all of his novels come from his life, I began to wonder, what was it about his life at this time that inspired such a grand symbol of impossible longing as the white whale, as Moby Dick? And the explanation, you know, this is the simplest explanation that makes sense of that, that the relationship between Melville and Hawthorne. And I wanted to write it as a novel because I really think to get inside the novelist's head when he's writing and to show how Melville's process was and how he was influenced by the things that were going on around him, it needed scenes and it needed his perspective. And I couldn't find a way to do that in an academic paper. You know, he needed to come to life in a way that I didn't think I could do just stating facts.
Well, let me ask you about the Berkshires. You say this was a hotbed of the literary scene there in the middle of the 1800s, and I'm fascinated by all the different names that pop up in the novel, and you're saying that this was quite a hopping place at the time.
Yeah, the ones that we know today and still read today, Oliver Wendell Holmes and Nathaniel Hawthorne and Herman Melville, we've already talked about, but there were a tremendous number of people there who were very, very popular in their time, but have kind of fallen off of our radar today. There was Catherine Sedgwick, who was a novelist. She was the most popular novelist in the Berkshires at the time. She had 10 best-selling novels. There's a guy named Joseph Smith, who's not the Mormon founder, but a poet, who was really popular. Ellery Chan, and I should say that people learned poetry by heart in school in these days, so poets were much more an important part of the literary scene. So there's Joseph Smith, the poet. There's Ellery Channing. There are literary critics like Everett and George Dyking, and there are playwrights like Cornelius Matthews, and they all coalesced around the Berkshires just because it was such a beautiful place and an escape from the city of Manhattan, you know, where there was pressure and you couldn't see the sun sometimes because of the buildings, and just for the same reasons that Manhattanites go to the Berkshires today. So what was it about that place that attracted all these literary people? I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure. What is it about the Impressionists in Paris or, you know, in the Renaissance, the great painters coming out of Venice, that somehow the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts were just this place where all these like-minded people met, and then something extraordinary happened out of their meetings.
I also loved in The Whale, a love story, how you talk about how Herman Melville is shaping his story, and he's, through most of the book, he's unhappy with the story and the way the story is, and he's looking to Nathaniel Hawthorne for inspiration, for a little bit of a jump start, because he's so unhappy with the book he's writing. And I love the words you put in Nathaniel Hawthorne's, or I suppose that you put in Nathaniel Hawthorne's mouth or pen, that talk about, well, this is not what the story's about, you should be doing this. Was that from a real-life episode, or what influence did Hawthorne have on Melville's Moby Dick?
Yeah, that it was based on real life. And in fact, all of even though it is fiction, I've, as scrupulously as possible, tried to follow all the historical details. So I did a tremendous amount of research, and I hope it shows up in the book. But I also hope that through the scenes, that this kind of lively interaction comes through as well, because they had a lot of conversations in real life about literature and morality and God. And Hawthorne really did transform Moby Dick into something that was allegorical and moral in a way that he was used to writing, but that Melville wasn't used to writing up until then. Actually, you know, Melville's cash-strapped at this point. He's really in debt, and he really needs the money. So what he was trying to do was write just an adventure story. His first two novels had been wild bestsellers, and they were really kind of simple adventure stories of two guys who would go off to the South Seas, you know, based on his own experiences. They would go off to the South Seas and have adventures. And then it was kind of a burlesque. It's kind of funny, and people really enjoyed those stories and bought them. And in the meantime, his next three novels hadn't sold very well at all, so he needed a bestseller. So the first version of Moby Dick was just this kind of, you know, a guy from New England meets up with a guy from the South Seas, and they go looking for a whale, and they get the whale. They actually catch Moby Dick, which, spoiler alert, is not how the novel ends now.
No.
And then they bring him back, and it was just this lighthearted thing. And under Hawthorne's influence, Melville started to read the Shakespearean tragedies, and he started to read Hawthorne's own work, and he started to have these deep conversations late into the night with Hawthorne about what it meant to have a quest, what it meant to confront God, what it meant to confront nature. And in these ways, Hawthorne really began to get into Melville's head, and Melville wanted to impress Hawthorne because he had these intense feelings for him. He wanted to impress how much he could do, how much he could write just like Hawthorne, how much he could sort of out-Hawthorne.
Mark Beauregard. His novel is The Whale, A Love Story. Learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. Well, you mentioned all the research and trying to stick with the historical facts as it goes through the book, Mark. I'm wondering about the letters. Are the letters reflections of actual letters from Melville and Hawthorne, or were those fictionalized in the book?
The letters from Melville in the book are Melville's actual letters.
Oh, okay.
And you can actually find them. There's a great website that the Melville Society runs called melville.org. And you can read all of the letters there and a bunch of other letters and journal entries besides. It's really fascinating. Hawthorne's letters, interestingly enough, Melville destroyed. And we know this because Julian Hawthorne, Nathaniel's son, when Nathaniel died, Julian decided to write a book about him. And he came around to Melville and asked him for any of the letters or writings of any kind that Hawthorne might have given Melville. And we know from Julian's notebooks about the encounter that Melville reported that he had, quote, scrupulously burned all of the letters as Nathaniel had requested. So this was actually one of the things I learned very early on that was intriguing. You know, like, why do you ask someone to burn your letters? I mean, and I don't know if you've ever been improvidently in love with somebody and written things that you didn't want seen, or even just expressed yourself in a way that maybe you didn't want other people to know about. But, I mean, I have done that, and I've been very embarrassed, or I just wanted to hide them. And I'm not saying that it's necessary that that's why Nathaniel wanted his letters burned, but it's just intriguing why you would ask somebody to burn your letters. So anyway, Melville's letters are all real, and then I've invented the responses that I ascribe to Hawthorne. Hawthorne's letters in my book are invented, but they're invented based on his journals and his letters to other people during that time. I've really tried to follow the sentiments and thoughts and opinions of all of these characters as much as possible based on their own writing.
Well, the book's been out for a little while. I'm just, you know, Moby Dick is such just a part of American culture. I'm curious, Mark, if you've gotten any pushback for The Whale, A Love Story here at all, whether it be from fans of Moby Dick or from the scholars of American literature.
The scholars have actually been really supportive, and I talked to a lot of scholars in person and had a lot of conversations around this subject while I was writing the book. It's really been an accepted fact in the academy for a long time that Melville was attracted to men. It's not so clear that Hawthorne was attracted to men, and it's also not exactly clear that what kind of relationship they did have. So there have been skeptics, especially in the popular press. But this is not really an evidentiary matter for me. I mean, my book is fiction. It does propose something that could have happened. But I think if you look at all of the... Well, here's what I like to think about it. If you were in a court of law and you had to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that that their relationship was an intense erotic relationship, you wouldn't do it. You couldn't do it because you could have reasonable doubts about that. However, I like to think of it in terms of like a civil court where the evidence you need is the preponderance of evidence such that a reasonable person would believe this relationship existed in this way. And I'm absolutely convinced that I can make that case and win it. It's also true that Melville in Moby Dick writes a same-sex marriage, which is the first same-sex marriage in American letters. Ishmael and Queequeg get married. And Hawthorne writes a very erotically charged relationship in his next novel, after he meets Melville, in the Blithedale romance, between a character named Hollingsworth, who resembles Melville exactly in his physical characteristics, and a character named Coverdale. and they have late night erotic conversations that resemble some of the things that show up in journals and letters between Melville and Hawthorne. So there has been skepticism, and I can't prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt, but I think given all the circumstantial evidence, it seems really likely that whether or not they fully expressed their feelings, they did have these feelings.
Well, all of that aside, Mark, it is a wonderful novel, and I love the story, whether it is true or not. Thank you. Thank you for both the story and your time this morning.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure talking to you.
Mark Beauregard. His novel is The Whale, A Love Story, offering a different view on the relationship between Herman Melville and Nathaniel Hawthorne. Learn more about Mark and the book at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.